We are going to continue to inspire you this hour because Jackie Hendry is here with me in the studio, SDPB's Jackie Hendry. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
All right. How did you meet this professor? Because you have a pretty incredible story to tell us today. I'm excited.
Well, a beautiful thing about small town South Dakota, you never know who you might meet when you go watch the tree lighting ceremony. So I went here in Vermilion to see the tree lighting, and a mutual friend introduced me to Travis Lettler. He is a professor of economics here at the University of South Dakota from the Kadoka area, and we just got to chatting about finals week and stressful season and youth and things like that, and he started telling me about this speech that he has come to be known for.
All right, I want to call it a lecture.
The lecture.
He calls it a speech because there was that book called The Last Lecture, and there was, I don't know if you ever read that, but it was a professor saying goodbye. This is not saying goodbye. This is sort of a saying hello, but helping millennials with the transition of what it means to be in the world right now. Where did it begin?
It's a great origin story. So Travis, he was teaching in Penn State, teaching a macroeconomics class at Penn State around 2009, which of course during the housing crisis and every other financial crisis you can think of, there's a lot to talk about as a macroeconomics professor, and most of it is not great news.
Right.
So one day a student who usually sat in the back, stayed pretty quiet, raised his hand and says, "Well, Professor, I'm a junior. Most of my classmates here are juniors. Is there any one thing you can tell us that gives us any reason to believe that we are not doomed? Because everything we are hearing tells us we are doomed." And this clip here is a story from Travis telling me what he was thinking in that moment.
Talk about hearing a pin drop in the room. This is a class of about 350 students, and there was not a sound in the room. Except maybe like the sound of like my heart thumping, because I was very quickly realizing I have no answer. Like in my brain, I have a very, you know, economist brain. And so I'm thinking, you know, I'm going through, okay, what about inflation? What about unemployment? What about the debt? What about, you know, and none of the answers were good enough. And I couldn't even think up something nice and warm and fuzzy to tell the class that would give them a little bit of hope, just a spark of hope. And so what I did on the outside, as I'm talking to the class, what I told them was, that is a great question. And you know what? I don't have a really good answer for you. So can you give me some time to think about it? On the inside, I was devastated. Because a teacher really has one job. And that is to encourage their student and to give their students, obviously, information, knowledge, education, but also hope. And in that minute, I had completely failed as a teacher.
Hmm. I love this, and I also love that he's an economics teacher.
Right.
You know, you might not expect this lecture to come from that place necessarily.
Right. And that's part of what caught my attention is not only is Travis obviously very well educated in economics, but looking through this problem, he realized it's not even so much a problem of economics, it's a problem of philosophy. And the heart of this question from the student is, you know, how is my generation going to succeed when all the markers of success are crumbling around us and changing so rapidly? So Travis really takes this to heart. He spends the rest of the semester compiling this philosophy, this speech that he gives, this lecture that he gives at the end of that semester. And he comes up with this idea of millennials as a generation of transition, a generation that's not only going to tackle the deficit and healthcare, but almost redefining the American dream. And he uses this lecture as an opportunity to kind of bolster and inspire his students.
When it comes to the speech and the generation of transition, what I really try to emphasize is that they have permission to be excited for their future. They have permission to think outside the box and start coming up with creative solutions to the world we live in, to the problems we see. And they don't have to color within the lines. It's this generation of transition that really has to start thinking outside of the box when it comes to issues of whether it's, you know, something like the national debt or Social Security or healthcare. Our country is rapidly moving into kind of a new phase of growth, a new phase of its own history. And I encourage my students to understand that the economics we learn in class is not about money. Economics is not about making money. It's about changing the world. And it's about understanding, first of all, how we got into some of these problems that we're dealing with today. But if we can understand where the problems came from, then we're much better equipped to fix them.
It's not about the money.
Right.
Hmm. How has this lecture changed over the years as he's given it? Because he's found it important to bring it back class after class.
Right. As you can imagine, being given in an economics class, a lot of it was focused on those things, GDP and all this kind of jargon that the students, of course, after a semester would understand. But he came to realize that, you know, as time went on, it wasn't even so much that tie-in that was speaking to students. It was that broader appeal of these ideas of success and redefinition and being engaged in the world around you and having that kind of permission to not wait for your seat at the table to step up and take it right now. And that's one of the biggest changes as he's continued to give this speech over the years.
What does he himself sort of connect with on the speech? That, you know, what are his favorite parts?
He really tends to draw into that generation of transition and this idea of being active, probably the most important part of this message, based on my sense of the conversations I've had with Travis, is that encouragement to be empowered. And actually, we have a bit of towards the end of this speech, right, where he really ties it all together and gives that bit of permission to his students to feel that power for themselves.
There's one thing that I've learned. For many years, we have become focused on finding and identifying external enemies, someone who is beyond us, beyond our borders, that we can point our finger to and blame for our problems. But in truth, the enemy is within. Our deepest threat is internal. We blame outside groups to keep us from pointing the finger at ourselves. We as a nation are collapsing. We are becoming a house divided against itself. And unless we stop ignoring this, until we become brave enough to point the finger of blame inward, it will bring us down. And you don't have to listen to me. I'm not special. I'm just Travis. And I certainly, certainly do not presume to speak for hundreds of millions of people. I just have this idea, and I have this message. But I believe it has merit, and so I want to share it with you. And I know that the speech, it's just words on a page, but I think that they're words that need to be said, because it is these words that lead to thoughts, and the thoughts will lead to empowerment, and that will finally lead to action. You will not remember the things I teach you, and you will not remember the things that I say today, but you will never forget how I made you feel. And that's not mine. That's a quote from Maya Angelou. But I like it. And I want you to feel pride and excitement and empowerment.
We're talking to Jackie Hendry right now, SDPB's Jackie Hendry. And I'm wondering if we could get at this notion of, you know, when we talk about millennials, some of those labels that we put on generation after generation. I was talking to my daughter the other day, who is too young to be a millennial, and she didn't really realize what generation she fit into. And I had heard something on the radio. I told her, you know, you're Generation Z. And she said, oh God, I'm last. And I immediately thought, you know, I almost regretted saying it, because I thought, you know, what are these labels that we put on ourselves of generations, and how do people internalize it? So talk a little bit about how this speech is received by his students and how they are sort of, you know, responding to his message.
Right. Well, the interesting thing about this speech is Travis calls it almost like a transgenerational idea. Like, it right. used to be very oppositional between past generations, but especially with millennials tend to get a bad rap by a lot of the talking heads. I actually did get a chance to talk with one of Travis's former students here at USD. Conrad Adam is a senior finance major here at the University of South Dakota, and says that he appreciates how the speech emphasizes how young people can be that change factor in the world, and told me he's even considering running for office potentially in the future largely because of this speech.
During several parts of his speech, Professor Lettler outlines the major challenges of our generation and the various labels that get put on the millennial generation, if you want to say that. So that really resonated with me of what challenges he outlined that we'll face in the future, whether it's social issues, whether it's national debt or other government issues. He really outlines those for students and really makes you not only understand the issues, but think differently about how you can change, create change for those issues.
One of my favorite quotations, I've said it before on this show, is actually, I'll paraphrase Kurt Vonnegut, when people sort of blame his generation, the greatest generation, for the destruction of the planet or the destruction of the economy. He always says, don't blame us, we just got here. And so I'm wondering, let's talk about what some of his students have said about that intergenerational passing from one generation to the next and what that means to them. Do you have an idea?
Yeah, well, I know Travis has told me, even as part of his class, he has a project where students, or a policy where, you know, students are allowed to complain about anything they want as long as they offer some kind of solution. And maybe it's not even possible, maybe it doesn't even make sense, but it gives you that space to kind of discuss those issues. And I actually had a great chance to catch up with a former student of his from Maryland and in Washington College, Shannon Shirk. And she gave me another bit of her favorite pieces of the speech. She actually has a copy that she keeps with her with highlighted passages that she references a lot, and that's the case with a lot of former students of his. But here's some of her takeaways from that.
You know, there's a bit where he talks about, you know, it's not time for all of us to accept the future that's been placed upon us by our parents and our grandparents' generations, but rather to kind of stand up and accept that the future is going to be what we make it. You know, it can be this dismal thing that's been handed to us if we let it, or we can take it upon ourselves to really be the ones who vote or run for office or implement the changes that we believe will make the world a better place. And I think that that's really one of the most powerful parts of it for me.
Fascinating stuff. Where does he go next with this? What is he thinking about for the future?
Well, you mentioned the last lecture at the beginning of this segment, and yeah. I think that's one thing that he is definitely interested in, because, you know, as much as we live in a digital age, it's nice to have something tangible. And like I mentioned, he has a student in Sioux Falls that has it framed on his desk that he references. So he'd love to right. write a book like that. He's also interested in starting some sort of online forum or a blog where people can share some of those kind of crazy ideas and feedback on each other to figure out where we go from here.
All right. So I think it's hard to underestimate the, you know, that moment in the classroom where a professor inspires you and how much you do want to take it forward. Who has inspired you at USD, Jackie?
Oh, man.
Oh, I put you on the spot there. She wasn't prepared to say that. Wow. I'll go first, because I remember taking so many professors at Augustana, where I graduated from. But Sandra Looney, who mm-hmm. retires this year, I think I had one class with her, and that was it. And it was grammar. I mean, it was, we diagrammed sentences and we, you know, broke down the language. And I just remember everything that she said, you wanted to remember forever. She had that kind of persona.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always have to point back to Todd Meckling here at the University of South Dakota in the Media and Journalism Department. He's been, I'll get verklempt on air, but he's been a big mentor for me in my time here. Just really incredible in helping me pursue that idea of storytelling, whether it's through video or radio or anything else like that.
Just got real in here talking about our college professors and mentors for us. This professor here makes that kind of connection with his students.
Absolutely.
As well.
A very similar thing with Shannon. They developed a friendship, and when she and another student found out that Travis was moving back to South Dakota, they decided they wanted to give him something in return for the inspiration he was able to give to them.
I think after having, you know, not only had him as a professor, but then really forming that friendship, we could both see in him that he had this potential to really motivate and empower a lot of people. And when we found out he was moving back to South Dakota, we decided to put together a little kind of going away present. And the big gift was the domain name. And then we put together a very rough outline of a blog where he could kind of start to plug things in and play with it and see what it was that he wanted to do. And I think that was really where we were trying to push him in this direction that we knew he could go in.
And talk about crying. Travis told me they handed him that card with those domain names, and he really was very touched by that. He hasn't worked with them a ton yet, but just knowing that they're there as a place to start was such a huge thing for him and something that he got back from his students.
Jackie Hendry, thank you so much for bringing this story to us today. I am inspired. I can't wait for the book to come out so you can read those words again and again. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll keep you posted.